Well, it is good to be back, certainly after a short hiatus, I guess, last week. I appreciate Mark filling in and being able to fill in to preach for me last week and did a wonderful job. It was good to sit and relax and really, you know, talk about some of the great things that we can tell people about God, about His Son. And so very encouraging. So I appreciate, you know, being able to be away for, you know, even a short period of time and be able to have Mark and others that have filled in the past. So very, very grateful for that. We are, as Jim mentioned, going to talk a little bit about Noah this morning. And we're going to begin our series of lessons for this year. Again, this year is going to be a little bit different as well. Last year was a little bit different. We didn't hand anything out. We didn't hand anything out this year as far as a booklet is concerned. My hope is that next year we'll probably be able to do that. But for this year, it'll be a little bit different in that I'm not the only one that's going to be preaching the series of lessons this year. I kind of talked to Mark last year a little bit as I think it was in the summer. He started talking about, you know, the word for the rest of the year was going to be come to church, right? Come to our congregation, come visit us, come to the Lord. And so we thought we would take that concept and run with it a little bit. And so I will be having 8 of those lessons, and Mark will be having 4 of those lessons throughout the year. Normally, we do it on the last Sunday of the month. It's going to be a little bit different this year because of Mark's schedule. There was no way to you know, at least know for sure that he would be available on the last Sunday of whichever month he was going to be preaching. And so we kind of just decided to say, okay, we'll just give you a month, and then you just let me know whenever you can fit it in within that month, whether it's morning or evening, or whether it's the first week of the month or the last week of the month. It really is not going to matter. But still, once a month, we will be talking about this topic of come. I know these are going to be very small because there's a lot of information to put in, but I did want to give you an idea of what we will be talking about. And today we're going to talk about come to the ark. And then in February, we're going to have a lesson entitled come with us, which will entail Moses and his invitation to his father-in-law to come along and receive the blessings of the children of Israel. Then Mark in March, we're going to have a lesson entitled come, let us reason together. Then in April, come, return to the Lord, a plea to come back to God. Come and see in May. Come and follow me, Mark will pick up in June. And I will make you fishers of men. I didn't put the full lesson title on there. But come and find rest in July. Come and be safe in August. Come out from their midst, Mark will have in September. And then come, even when it's difficult in October, come near to God, Mark will have in November. And then finally in December, we will offer one last invitation. And that not is for others necessarily to come, but come, Lord Jesus. The invitation kind of that John in Revelation gives to Jesus to come and to fulfill everything. And basically begin the judgment day. So those are the lessons that we will be looking at throughout the year. And we will try to keep reminding you of these. And again, I know that that's small. And in fact, those who are watching online, if there are any, probably can see it a lot better than you can even right now. But if you want that information, we can certainly get that to you so that you'll be prepared and ready when these lessons do come. We're told that we need to invite other people to something. God wants us to invite people. But here's the key. It's not our invitation to give. It's not my invitation to give. And I can remember when I was growing up that you know, basically my mom had this rule. My dad didn't, you know, he didn't care really one way or the other, I guess. But mom kind of had this rule that if I wanted to go somewhere, basically I had to ask. But as long as we weren't doing it, then there were some rules here. It wasn't just a free-for-all. But if I wanted to invite someone over and there wasn't school, and I basically could do that almost at any time I wanted to. And so it wasn't my invitation to give. It wasn't my house. I wasn't going to probably, I might have had to clean my room, but I wasn't going to, you know, clean the house when company was coming. I wasn't going to prepare any food when company was coming. Mom was going to do that, but she basically had said, anybody that you want to come over can come over here, but you're not necessarily going to go there. And so she allowed it to be a more open invitation so that I didn't have to say, you know, well, can I do this or can I? No, it's basically an open invitation. If you want somebody to come, they're welcome to come here. Again, as long as there wasn't, you know, something crazy going on, or we weren't going to be gone or whatever, I was allowed to offer that invitation, but it really wasn't mine to offer, was it? I didn't have a house. I didn't own anything. But I was allowed to make that invitation. And the invitation that God asks us to give to others needs to be His, but it also needs to be offered. We just need to recognize that it's not our invitation that we're offering. And because it wasn't our invitation, because it wasn't my invitation to offer to my friends, I had to give that invitation exactly as it had been given to me. I didn't have a house. I didn't have a home. So I knew those little rules. Hey, if we're going somewhere this weekend, you can't invite somebody to come with us. Right? We're going to be gone. And so it's only for those weeks that we're going to be home, or those times when there's not a lot of other stuff going on. There's not games and, you know, ball practices or whatever to go to. So I knew those rules. When we're offering the Lord's invitation, we have to realize what the rules are. I think there's a lot of people out there that are just offering the Lord's invitation. Come to Jesus. Invite Him into your heart. Right? That's all you need to do, is just believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and He'll come into your heart. Wait a minute. That's not the Lord's invitation. That's not how He told us to invite Him. And so over the course of this series, what I want to look at is some of the times where God or Jesus has invited us to do something. And see what those rules are and those regulations are that He gives, and hopefully make spiritual application for ourselves. Today we're going to look at the invitation that God gives to Noah. An invitation that Noah was meant to give to others. And that invitation was, come into the ark. You know, we look at Noah and we look at maybe his success rate, and we probably look at Noah, and some people anyway might look at him as a failure as far as a preacher of righteousness is concerned. But only 8 people were saved from that flood. Just 8. As we'll look at in a little bit, I think he's been very successful, considering that it was only Noah that found grace in the eyes of God and what he was able to accomplish. Sometimes as preachers, you know, maybe we get bogged down about numbers. You know, how many people are here? How many people have been baptized? How many people have, you know, all of these questions that maybe run through our minds. It's not about the numbers. God wants everybody to be saved, for sure. It's not necessarily about the numbers. It's about offering to those people who have the right heart, who have the right attitude, to be saved from something. And so the invitation that we're going to look at today is this invitation to survive. Right? What happens when we invite others? Well, when we invite others using God's invitation, we're inviting them to survive. We're giving them an opportunity to survive something that is coming. We offer them hope for an opportunity to survive this coming disaster that is coming. When it's God's invitation, when He's inviting us to do something, that means that there's something else coming. There's an alternative when He's saying, listen, I want to invite you to do this. There's an alternative to it that we don't want to be part of. And so when we're inviting others to come and to join us in our worship, when we're inviting others to come and to be part of the church, We're inviting them to survive. Look at the days of Noah in Genesis chapter 6, starting in verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Notice this. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. This is what's going on in the days of Noah. The world, the attitude of the world was on evil continually. They were wicked in their thoughts, but not just in their thoughts, not just in their heart. When we have wickedness in our heart, in our minds, it comes out in action. And that's exactly what was happening in the days of Noah. Is today much different? Again, as Mark said, you know, we don't want to say that, you know, well, this is the worst that it's ever... No, this has been happening for a long time. But ask yourself, are we getting closer and closer to God? Or are we, as a whole, stretching further and further away from Him? I think we can all say we're getting further and further away from God and away from those foundations that He has laid. I don't think it looks a whole lot different. Well, what happens if this wickedness continues? Look at chapter 6 and verse 7. Because of that, because the wickedness was great, and because he had been sorrowful and grieved in his heart, the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land. From man to animals to creeping things to birds that fly, for I am sorry that I have made them. You know, sometimes when I read this, I feel a little bad for the animals. What did they do? Right? Other than they were alive with these foul human beings. Basically, the only thing that they did, they were filling their function as God had intended them to fill. They were living on the instincts that God had given them. It was man that caused God to grieve in his heart. He said, you know what, I'm just going to destroy the whole thing. The plants, the animals, the, you know, mankind, whoever, whatever is on earth. I'm going to destroy it because I'm sorry that I even made it. That's what happens if the type of wickedness that we're talking about, that's what happens if it continues. This is what God has said all along is going to happen again. Not necessarily the rain, as Jim pointed out, not by a flood, but it's being reserved for fire this time. But it's the same type of destruction. It's not going to be something that is good, and this is certainly still true today. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death. That's what we get, that's what we gain, that's what we earn if we continue in this. And so when we offer an invitation, I want us to remember that we're offering them an invitation to survive. And they may not want it, but it is an invitation for them to survive. Look at the invitation that Noah receives. But, you know, this, can you imagine being God? I don't know how many people, there are estimates, people that try to guess how many people were on the earth at that period. I have no idea. I'm not even going to venture to guess, but it was probably a lot. Just considering the amount of time that they had and the length of time that people lived, and so they were able to have more and more children. You know, one particular husband and wife were able to have so many more children than they are today just because of the lifespan of the people. So I can imagine that there were a lot of people on the earth. God found one. He's looking at each and every one of us. You know, if you're looking at the world as a whole, you think it would be difficult to see that one person in a group that was so evil? He looked at everybody. Yes, he was grieved in his heart. Yes, he was sorrowful in his heart. But he found Noah because he was looking for Noah. Not that he didn't know where Noah was. I don't mean to say that. But God was looking at everyone, and he found Noah. He offers him the invitation. But Noah found favor or found grace in the eyes of God. God offers us an invitation of grace as well. An invitation to accept that grace. Now, God had a plan for Noah. He said, you're gonna build a floating device. You're gonna build this ark. And you're gonna make it to these specifications. So it was by grace, through faith, that Noah found favor with God. It was certainly by the grace of God. God did not have to save Noah, but he did. He offers him his grace. And as I mentioned earlier, sometimes we look at Noah and say, here's a failure. Understand that God didn't say, Noah, you and your wife and your children have all found favor in the eyes of the Lord. In fact, if we do a little number searching, I don't believe Noah even had children at this point in time when he finds grace in the eyes of the Lord. It was during the process, the 120 years of building this ark. And so Noah was able to not only find a wife. Now, again, Noah is going to take his family with him, his wife, his sons, and their wives. But only Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so Noah was able to find a wife amongst this mess that would go with him, that would sit with him while he's building this ark, preparing this ark, and not go, you know what, this guy is nuts. I think I'm out of here. No, she stuck with him. His sons, he was able to raise his three sons in this wicked world to likely have them helping build this ark. He was able to teach his sons to find three women that would marry them, that would get on this ark with them in the midst of this completely wicked generation. I think Noah was a success. You know, sometimes we look at it and say, well, only eight people were saved. But when I see it, wow, Noah was amazing that he even found that many. If God invites, I want us to realize and recognize that something's coming. In 1 Peter 3, starting verse 18, for Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having put to death in the flesh, but being made alive in the Spirit, in which he also went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers had been made subjected to him. So he says, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. This is the ark that you're going to go on. When you become a child of God, just like you, when you became a child of Noah, you were going to be put on the ark. You were going to be put in safety. God does that for us as well. He says, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. This is going to put you in God's good graces. This is the accepting. This is the ark that you are building. He has prepared his church, and he wants you to be part of that. We're baptized into that church, into Jesus Christ. And that's what keeps us, or that's where will keep us safe. Something's coming, because God has made an invitation, and that means that there's an alternative. God is going to destroy the world again by fire, and we need to be found safe on this ark, safe in the church through baptism into Jesus Christ. This invitation was going to be a leap of faith for these people. Noah entered this vessel with a lot of unknowns. There wasn't a lot that was known about this time. Notice Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1. The Lord said to Noah, "Enter the ark, you and all your household, for you alone I have seen to be righteous before me in this time." Get into this ark. There's a lot of animals on board. Nothing is happening yet outside. What's going on? Notice Hebrews chapter 11. The Hebrew writer kind of expands on it a little bit. "By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen." Can you imagine Noah saying, "Hey, there's going to be a huge flood. It's going to rain." "What's rain?" "I had never seen it before." Remember that God used to water the ground from underneath, right, with a mist? Nothing has fallen from the sky yet. It's going to be different. There's a lot of unknowns. "In reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." It took a leap of faith for Noah to get onto this ark. Now let me ask you this. Has anyone seen the return of Jesus? I haven't. Have you? No one has. Are we warning people about things not yet seen? Yeah. Is that going to take a leap of faith? Yeah. But there's evidence for it. There's plenty of evidence. The things we are being warned about have not yet been seen. And so it is only right that we warn others and invite others to come with us. Just as Noah, a preacher of righteousness, invited others to go with him. Noah, as we mentioned, his salvation was brought about by grace through faith. We hear that all the time. In Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." Yeah. We don't have to argue with that statement. I hear a lot of people, "We're saved by grace through faith." And I hear a lot of people will say, "Well, no. You know, we have to be baptized. We have to do this. We have to do..." No, it's all included in there. We can say amen because this is a statement that's read right out of Scripture. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Amen. Of course we have. It is by the grace of God, but yet through faith that we are saved. It's a misunderstanding of that word faith that I think a lot of people have. He says, "And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." Remember, Noah found grace in the eyes of God. But Noah also had to return faith in the sight of God to have that salvation. Noah found grace, and so God gave him an opportunity. God gave him an invitation, build an ark. And then even with that, he didn't have to get on it. He could have just built it. But God said, "You and your family get on the ark." And he had to do that. It was an invitation that Noah accepted. Do we? Because ours is the same. We are saved by grace. By the grace of God. There's nothing else that we can be saved by. It is by the grace of God that we have salvation. But it is also through faith. He even continues in verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." That's why I recreated you. That's why I put you in the church, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's not that we don't have anything to do. It's just the things that we do doesn't equal salvation for us, doesn't equal an eternity of salvation. The few things that I have done for God, or on behalf of God, would not equal an eternity of salvation for me. There's just too few of them. I don't even have enough time. If I did good deeds 24 hours a day, and I don't, I wouldn't even have enough time to earn salvation. It is only offered by the grace of God. But it is through faith. There are things that we need to do. In John chapter 3 and verse 36, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. If you believe in the Son, yes, you have eternal life. But if you do not obey the Son, you will not see life. You will see the wrath of God. This is an invitation also that we need to offer to others. Notice what God says to Noah in chapter 7 again in verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Enter the ark, you and all your household. For you alone I have seen to be righteous before me." Invite your family to come onto this ark. You and all your house. God's invitation was open to others. And it wasn't just open to his family. That was just the only ones that he was able to convince at that point. The invitation was for everyone. Again, the New Testament tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He preached, he taught, he tried to get others to come to the ark, but they wouldn't. And so the invitation was open, even though it was only Noah that found grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord. I assure you that God wants all of us to be saved. If you look at Acts chapter 16, Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 30, after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house. And he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds. And immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. And he brought them into the house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly, having believed, past tense now, having believed in God with all or with his whole household. What must I do? He says, "Believe and you will be saved." Verse 33, and he took them that very hour of the night and he washed their wounds and immediately he was baptized. He says, believe, right? And that's what you need to do. When did he believe? After he was baptized, it says, now having believed. It was after he showed through his actions that he believed in God, that he actually could say that he had believed. And again, with his whole household, everyone had to do that. Everyone had to do the same thing. But God wants us all to be saved. It wasn't just, you know, for this Philippian jailer. He didn't say, "No, you can't bring anybody out. This is just for you." No, the Philippian jailer wanted his whole household to be there. Peter wanted that whole household to be there. Paul. In Psalm 119 and verse 90, "Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations." You catch that? God's faithfulness continues throughout all generations. It says, "You established the earth and it stands." God hasn't changed. We're charged, again, with leading others to Christ, leading others to God. And a good way to start is with an invitation. Come. It's simple. As Mark laid out last year, it's simple. Come. Come join us. Come worship with us. Invite someone to come. It's going to be difficult at times to get people in today's society to sit down sometimes with a Bible study like we maybe used to be able to. But just an invitation to come. Come be a part of what I'm a part of, because I love being a part of it. And that's the whole point. That's the whole key. If they see us loving being a part of this group, loving being a part of God's church, people don't like to see other people happy. They want to be happy. I want to see you happy, right? I want to be happy. People, that's what people want for themselves. And when they see you happy, they want that happiness. Not necessarily that they don't want you to be happy, but they want that happiness. They want to be part of that. I think too often we look miserable. And people say, I don't want to be, they seem miserable. Why would I want to be part of that? Let's enjoy the safety that we have in the arms of God. and in the arms of His Son. Tell others, come and see. Just come and see. Check it out for yourself. See what God has done for me. And I know that He can do the same for you. You've been offered an invitation today. What will you do with it? God is going to be inviting you all year. And He continues to invite you. He continues to say, come. Not just the lessons that we preach on this specific topic. But He's all the time saying, come. I want you to be part of this. I want you to have the same salvation that Noah had from back in his day. I want you to have that today. But we have to accept the invitation. And when we do, we need to offer it to others. Again, as Mark mentioned this morning, it's not about, you know, hiding, right? Hiding up in the hills and keeping all of our faith to ourselves. No, God wants us to share it with others. He wants us to make those invitations to others and tell them to come. Specifically today, come to the ark. If you're here and you're not a child of God, you're not in the ark. You're not in that spiritual ark that God has built and provided for us through His Son. If you've not yet been baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, you have time and opportunity to do that today. We can pray with you. We can pray for you. We can baptize you into the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you're here and you've once done that, but yet have fallen away, you have time and opportunity today to get back, to come back. We'll talk about that more specifically later in the year. But you have time and opportunity today to come back to God and get where you need to be so that you can have safety on that ark as well. If you're here and subject to God's call in any way, please come to the front seat while we stand and while we sing.